But many years ago, the Lord told me what my responsibility was to live the Christian life personally, to live in a godly way with my wife at home, to bring up my children in a godly way, to be faithful in the ministry of building the church, in all these areas, personal life, family life, bringing up children, building the church. One verse is what the Lord kept on reminding me about. And almost every time I get up to preach, John 15. It's been a great help to me. A very encouraging word. It'll help every one of you. Take it from the Lord today. The last part of verse 5. John 15 verse 5. Without me, you can do zero. Praise the Lord. I'm supposed to do zero. Anybody can accomplish that. Do you agree with that yourself? That's what the Lord asks you. That's what the Lord asks me. Do you really believe? Be honest now. Do you really believe that without me, what you accomplish will be zero? It may look great in the eyes of the world, but in the clearer light of eternity, eternity will sharpen our focus and we'll see things more clearly. On the earth, it's a dim, we think someone's a wonderful work and all that, but eternity will focus it, and a lot of things which we thought were gold, silver, precious stones, we'll discover in that day were wood, hay, and rubbish. The fire will expose it. Here it looks a huge pile of wood and a huge pile of hay. What a massive ministry. What a wonderful life. And this other fellow's got just a small bit of gold, small bit of silver. Size-wise, this is a huge ministry. And this is so small. But when both are put into the fire, I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians 3, by the way. There are two types of work you can do. One is wood, hay, and stubble. The other is gold, silver, and precious stones. The test is the test of fire. If you go with $10,000 to the market and you want to buy wood, hay, and straw, you can get a huge pile. You need truckloads to bring it all home. When you go to a store to buy gold, silver, and precious stones, you can put it all in your pocket and come home. Imagine a ministry that you can put in your pocket and a ministry that needs truckloads. Eternity will give a different picture of both ministries. The test of fire. The only work that will last is done by those who have understood this truth. Apart from me, what you do will be a zero. If you recognize, not that at the beginning, we'll all recognize at the beginning. What about your salvation? Could you have saved yourself? Could you have forgiven your sins with effort and strength and striving? Could you have made it to heaven by your run effort? When it comes to that, we all agree. Without Christ, I cannot get my sins forgiven. Without Christ, I cannot come enter heaven. Impossible! But when it comes to serving the Lord, you say, yeah, I can do that. I've studied the Bible. I'm diligent. I've read various books. I've prepared my notes. I think I can manage it. No wonder you will discover one day, my brother, sister, you will discover that what you built was wood, hay, and stubble. Rubbish. Discover it now. It's one of the prayers I have prayed to the Lord is, Lord, please don't give me any surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. Tell me right now what's wrong in my life. Don't tell me in that day, this is what is wrong, this is what is wrong. And if you're open to the Holy Spirit, He will tell you now. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us right now what's wrong with us. At the end of a time of ministry, He'll tell me what I did right and what I did wrong. He doesn't just discourage us. God is a God of encouragement. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, but He'll also say, this was wrong. This is unnecessary. You said this just to promote yourself. I'm not saying testimony. Paul gave his testimony. Sometimes, many times he gave it. It was not to promote himself. It was to encourage others. So I'm not saying testimony is wrong, but motive is the important thing. Motive. And motive is something which nobody can see. Even your wife cannot see. Certain things your wife cannot see. For example, you can live 60, 70 years with your wife and she still will not know whether you love money. Outwardly you can act generous and all. You can give everybody an impression you're a very generous person, you don't love money. In your heart, love of money is in the heart. It's not in what you do. You know, for example, I told you I gave up all my job and all my bank account for the Lord's work 60 years ago when I left the job 58 years ago. And people would have thought, oh, Brother Zach doesn't love money. I knew I did. Even though I had given up everything, I was very faithful, never to get into debt and all. But love of money is so deeply rooted that I would pray and pray and pray, even after having given up everything. I said, Lord, I don't want to love money. Even though I never took a salary, even though I never asked people for a gift, I never sent a prayer letter, I still said, Lord, love of money is so deep rooted. I had given up my job, gave everything in my bank account for the Lord's work, never took a salary in all the 50 years of CFC, never went and preached for money, never sent a prayer letter. I had to pray, Lord, free me from the love of money. It doesn't go so easily, my brother. And where did I see it? I said, it's not a question of my asking or grabbing. It's not the external actions. It's the inner attitude. Do I have any interest in that? I've never in my life bought luxuries for myself. My wife is like that. We never buy things which are unnecessary. But still I said, Lord, love of money is deeper than that. I can deny myself in all these areas. And I said, you know what my goal was? I want to have the same attitude to money that Jesus had. Whether he had much or little, he didn't love money. It was not a question of how much he had. Do you know that Jesus had a pretty huge savings account? Nothing wrong in having a savings account. Jesus had one. Only thing is, the owner of the bank was a bit of a crook. That was Judas Iscariot. His savings account was in a bag. And how do I know there was so much there? Because Judas was stealing so much from there and still people didn't know. You know, if you can steal so much from a pile and nobody knows, it must be a pretty big pile. So many people were so delighted with the ministry of Jesus, they were giving him money and Jesus said, give it to him. And he collected, and he knew that I can steal from this and nobody will know something is missing because it's such a huge pile. But did Jesus love it? He didn't. So don't think that because you've denied yourself in certain areas, you don't love money. It's much more deep-rooted than that. Ask yourself, because that's the main thing that hinders us from following the Lord. There are two masters in the world. Please remember that. And particularly in a wealthy country like the US. God and money. And if you depend on money, you will not be able to serve the Lord. You depend on your own cleverness, ability. You have to recognize, without me, you can do zero. And I'll tell you honestly, when I get up to preach, that's the verse I come to. Lord, I will not be able to, even though I've preached for years, I will not be able to preach the exact word that people sitting here need. To preach a general sermon, ask me to take a study on Ephesians, I can take it anywhere without any warning. Because I've done it so many times. But ask me to speak according to the need of people sitting in this congregation. I said, Lord, I don't have a clue. 90% of these people, I don't know what their need is. And even the ones I know, I don't know what their real need is. How in the world can I preach to them as God to give a sermon? Oh, that's easy. Just pick up one of the old sermons and preach them. That's what most preachers do. You know, I've heard that these pastors and all in churches, you know why they usually transfer themselves after 3 years and look for another option? One is to get a better salary. The other is they've run out of their 150 sermons in 3 years. And you can't preach that again, so they go to somewhere else to preach those 150 sermons in another church. And they keep shifting like that. That's not ministry. There's only one way to preach God's word, and that's to start saying, Lord, without you I can do nothing. God knows the need of every single person sitting in every congregation I've ever spoken to. And if I trust Him, without even my knowing it, He will tell me to speak according to their need. Many times, while I'm speaking, He turns away from what I'm planned to speak and makes me say something else because there's somebody sitting there who needs that word. So that's why I begin with, Lord, I'm like the branch in the vine. He used vine because in Israel everybody knew what his vine was. In India we have mango trees. So I say, I'm like a branch in a mango tree. That branch can never produce mangoes by itself. And even if it has produced mangoes for 50 years, if it's cut off, no more mangoes. Experience is useless. To say I produce mangoes for 50 years doesn't help when you're cut off. You're as dependent on the tree after 50 years as you were on the first day. So I believe that I'm as dependent on the Lord today for preaching as I was when I first started preaching when I was 23 years old. If you understand that, you will be able to preach God's word and share God's word with people. I'm not talking about preaching alone. Supposing you're talking to somebody. Somebody in need comes to your house, a sister. You sisters are talking to someone and you want to help that person. First requirement, without Christ, you will accomplish zero. Even if you've got 50 years as a believer and you think I can counsel this new person. Sure, I know much more than you know, but you won't be a help because you don't know that person's need. Learn, one of the great lessons in the Christian life to learn is without Christ, you can do zero.